It's our pleasure to welcome back to the show John Costakos, who, of course, is a icon when it comes to some of the great sports posters of all time. And we're here to talk about the Costakos collection and how they have partnered with some legendary athletes to create some of these digital art and NFTs. John, what's it like to you to get into the non-fungible token market? Are you like me? Was it confusing at first? Because I'm still confused.
Yeah, it's still a little confusing to me because it's a foreign language to me. It's native language to young people who grew up in the digital age, but I'm still learning, but it's now making sense.
So when I hear that you've partnered with Willie Mays for an NFT, I mean, those are like four generations removed, but it's pretty cool when I think about that. What do you do with an NFT with Willie Mays?
Oh, man. Well, so first of all, making a deal to do this with Willie Mays, I felt like I was a kid again. Like when I signed Kenny Easley, you know, I was 23 years old, my first poster, he was the defensive player of the year. It was great. But now, you know, signing Willie Mays, it was the same thing. Wow, this is great. Now what do we do? so we talked about what we're going to do, and he liked the idea of us focusing on the early days. We're gonna do a lot of stuff with Willie, but the beginning of his career, when he was actually in high school and playing baseball for the Birmingham Black Barons professionally in the summertime. And so we created some pieces to commemorate his career, but we also, and his rookie of the year, but the main piece was using his high school diploma and his photo, or his high school graduation picture. And the diploma was interesting because he was assigned a profession, basically, by his high school to be a dry cleaner. Our greatest living ball player was supposed to be a dry cleaner. So we have that, and a year later, you know, he signed the contract for the Birmingham Black Barons, actually a year earlier. And so we had a photo of him, you know, with the Barons and his contract. And then a year and a half after that was the actual contract where the Giants bought his rights. So it just took his path there, and we have a whole bunch of memorabilia from Willie's house in the piece.
If you think about Prince, if that album was called Blue Rain, would your career have been completely different?
Everything. It's really funny. When Prince died, okay, I thought, oh my God, I got into the sports business because I made those Purple Rain t-shirts for the Washington Huskies. And all of the friends that I've made, I just thought about, it was like my whole life flashed before my eyes. All of my friends, so many people that I know, so many of my best friends that I met while I was in the sports business. And I wouldn't know any of them if it weren't for that. So I owe a lot to Prince.
No doubt. And then, of course, from Purple Rain at UW, you do the Real Men Wear Black, and you got Alzado, and then you do the Judge Lester's Court with Lester Hayes, and the one I still have in my house with the Bash Brothers. When did it ever feel like, oh, I'm doing too many of these, or did you have to kind of think about, we need to release these slowly because we can't just give everybody a poster?
Well, eventually, in the first years, we didn't think we were doing too many. We were working our butts off, and it was like the first 3 years, it was 7 days a week, and there was not a day for 3 years that we didn't work 12 hours a day. And so we were working hard, but it didn't feel like we were doing too many. Eventually, we got licensed by the leagues and the players' associations, and they were putting a lot of pressure on us to do more posters of more players. And part of that was to keep the players' association happy. But there's no question eventually we were doing too many, at least for me, because I want every one of the posters to be great creatively. And then when you're having to create because they tell you got to do more players, well, you're trying to come up with something that is good enough, but it's just, there are a lot of those that weren't as good in the later years. The earlier years are the ones that we're most proud of because we were choosing the player only when we had a great concept, whereas later we were being given a list of players and having to come up with stuff for them.
You know, when I think about guys who had posters like Brian Bosworth, who had all the hype in the world and turned out to be a flash in the pan. Is that the kind of thing, it's almost like a cult thing now to like get Brian Bosworth stuff because he didn't turn out to be an all-pro?
Well, I think Brian's loved in Seattle. He's kind of a legend, like a folk hero in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for him, like he was a good player. Brian was a really good player, but his career got cut short because of, I think it was an arthritic condition in his shoulders. But yeah, I will say, I want to defend Brian just for a second, because he did get run over, well, not run over by Bo Jackson. He did make the tackle. He did tackle Bo Jackson, but how many linebackers can stop Bo Jackson going full speed? It's kind of hard. But anyway, Brian, the poster was huge, and I get a ton of requests for that. I think there are a few things going on. Young people have a lot of nostalgia for stuff that's retro from the past. And so to me, when I look at some of the posters, they look, it looks like maybe I'm watching the special effects from Ghostbusters, the original. So it kind of looks old fashioned to me, but I'm amazed at the way kids respond to it. The other thing is grown-ups. I've learned this over the last years. There's so many guys and gals that grew up with these posters in their bedrooms, and they remember the way it made them feel to watch that player. They remember how much they loved it. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of nostalgia, and they want to get posters of these and frame them up. So that's why the NFTs are kind of nice.
Right. But like when you're working with Russell Wilson, and for like over a year now, it's like, is he staying? Is he going in Seattle? Is that a huge thing for you? You like have everything put together and kind of a Seahawk theme, and now all of a sudden he's a Cowboy or something,
Well, the one nice thing about today is in the digital world, you can change the colors of anything. We did that Russell Wilson poster for his charity, for the Why Not You Foundation. And it raised a ton of money for it at the release event. They raised over $400,000. But today, if we switch teams, we could just change the colors in Photoshop. It would be easy. Back in the day, we were shooting on film. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't change anything. And the worst thing that could happen is a player got traded. Because his posters were all of a sudden, you can take their jersey or a t-shirt with their number or something like that, and the stores can discount those and sell them, and the guy will do another thing. But posters, the fans just stop buying them when he's on another team.
Last question for you. I know you work with Aaron Judge, and I was just mentioning Lester Hayes, the Judge, and people at Yankee Stadium wearing the powdered wigs. It seems pretty obvious, but what direction did you go in?
Well, this was for Adidas, and they wanted to have one of my posters to announced their endorsement deal with Aaron. So I was excited because he's a wonderful player, and I'm a Yankees fan. And so I was excited to do it. But they first started off with, dressing him up like a judge and putting a judge's robe on him. And I said, no, this is Aaron Judge. He's a big, muscular home run hitter, and you don't hide those guns. You got to get it out there. So we agreed to do one with the sleeveless t-shirts on, and making him look pretty well. We always wanted it to look badass, so that was the deal. So we wanted to make him look a little bit better than he would in the judge robe. But they also wanted to shoot the ones in the judge robe, but I said okay. So we shot all the ones with the sleeveless t-shirt on, and then we shot the ones with the judge's robe. And he is such a nice young man. You could tell that he realized what he looked like with that judge's robe on, and he didn't like it, but he was so cooperative. And then they put this white barrister's wig on him, and he looked like a kid whose parents dressed him up like Pee Wee Herman for Easter Sunday, and his friends are going to see him, And so I looked at how I think the people from Adidas, they knew it wasn't going to work. And I said, don't worry, there's no way we're going to use these. And, it ultimately wasn't going to be my choice, but I knew the other shots looked better, and that's what they were going to choose.
Very cool. So for the coast,
he was the best.
Yeah. No, he's a good kid from the Central Valley out here in California. Kostakos Collection. How do we find out more?
just go straight to CostacosCollection.com. To spell it, CostacosCollection.com.
CostacosCollection, there you go. Hey, John, man, congratulations on this renaissance to these posters, and thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.